I believe that every time that we are faced with Jesus Christ, we need to make a choice. My job is to invite you not only to see Jesus Christ, but invite you to the foot of the cross to experience Jesus Christ.
Have you seen this picture on the front of the bulletin? I like it. Because to me, that's a picture of Christ right there. In the news about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you heard it, it was on a Friday, but there was a man at the beach intent on losing his life. He wanted to die. And so he waded out into the surf up to his neck, and he stayed there about half an hour, 45 minutes, until hypothermia set in and he could no longer stand and support himself or swim. And during that time, somebody called the fire department, who came to the beach, to the water's edge, and watched him for about half an hour. They were not qualified to make a water rescue, and they were forbidden to go after the victim. And so they stayed and watched. They did not even retrieve the man after he passed away. A bystander swam out and got him. Isn't that an ugly picture? Our soul just loathes such things. And of course, the bureaucrat, the officers in the headquarters said, we're going to reinstitute our training for water rescue. Well, it's too late for that man. What I like about this man, have you ever seen somebody that wanted to be rescued not cooperate? You know, this man right here in this picture, he wants to be rescued. He didn't use his cane to beat off his rescuer. And the rescuer is holding on with both arms. And I believe the man that is being rescued is holding back. Is holding back. Do you want to be rescued today? Is there something in your life that you need very much? And I know there are. I don't want to call out names and things, but as I'm getting acquainted, I know amongst us are people that could be healed. If the church ever had the gift of healing, wouldn't it be nice to use it on some of our church family? Don't you wish we had more means that we could really help people as they look for a job? They're between jobs. I have a friend that needs a better job, but he's stuck. Have you known anybody that had to sell their house because they couldn't afford their mortgage payments? Wouldn't it be nice if we could provide for these people better? What's going to happen? I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 6. Moses had his day. He was born in a very providential way to a faithful father and mother who prayed over that baby and wanted him to make a difference. But there was persecution in the land, and Moses was hidden in a little basket, waterproofed with tar, and he was floated on the River Nile and found by the princess of Egypt. She took him in. Almost. She allowed him to be raised by a Hebrew woman who was actually his mother. And for about 12 years, Moses lived at home, learned the stories of creation, the stories in the book of Genesis, because they were well known to the Hebrews. They were well known, and they helped in the book of Exodus. Moses had his day. He went to Pharaoh's court where he thrived and became a prince. we believe he could have been in line for the kingdom. But in a day of impulse and rage, he couldn't stand it any longer. If God would not provide, then he, Moses, would provide. He would do what it took. He would stick his neck out. He would lead this band of people, and he would show them the way. But it blew up in his face. It did not succeed, and he had to run for his life. Moses had his chance. He had his opportunity, and now he's off the grid. He's living incognito, way far away from the kingdom of Egypt. He's a shepherd, and he's an old man. 80 years old when the burning bush occurs. It is burning, but it does not get consumed. And he turns aside. Let's join Moses now as he turns aside in Exodus chapter 3 to see this great wonder, what's going on. He wants to know, and in verse 6, God speaks, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." Do you have a problem in your life today? Are you in pain somehow? Do you have a habit that you're in bondage to and you wish you could get out of it and get over it? I do. Have you been in misery this week? Have you? You know, that was a good time to say amen. No, you missed it. No. There'll be another turn. God sees our suffering. He notices our misery. Folks, the plain truth of the Bible story is we matter to God. Amen. We matter to God. He's not too far away. He's not unconcerned. He's not too busy. He's not preoccupied. I have two sons. They gave me this tie on a Father's Day weekend a long time ago. And they said, "Dad, do you think you'd even wear it to church?" Absolutely. I've been wearing it every Father's Day weekend since. I used to have fish in an aquarium. So I'm a father. You may not be a father, but you have a father. And your father notices your little efforts. He notices and he sees and he cares. He cares more about us than all the riches of heaven, because he sent his son to be with us. And so when he tells Moses, "I have indeed seen the suffering. I know the misery. I know the bondage." God knows where we're at, and he wants to help us. He wants to provide a way for us, a way free, a way out, a way open, a way up, and we are looking for that deliverance. Have you ever seen the book of Revelation? Have you seen there the plagues? Do you know what that reminds us of? Egypt. And when God provided a way out. What do the redeemed sing when we get to heaven? What do we sing? The song of Moses and the Lamb. From these stories in the book of Genesis, we see motivation and help for us to escape our bondage. That's what we're going to be looking at for the next 3-4 weeks, all told. God sees us. Take a look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. "Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt.'" Our Heavenly Father has seen what has been done to us in Norwalk, in Brea, in Long Beach, Arcadia, wherever we come from. And He wants to encourage us, and He wants to provide a way out. Turn now, keep a bookmark there if you'd like, but turn back to Genesis chapter 22. Here is a story for all ages, for those of us who are caught in misery and bondage and suffering, that God will provide a way out, that God sees us. Here's a story to encourage us to have faith until the deliverance. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Abraham has a habit of saying, "Here I am," to God. How about us? How about us today? Do we say, "Here I am," when we hear God whispering our name? When we hear influences moving upon our hearts to be better, to believe more, to, in our bondage and in our suffering, to turn to Christ, do we say, "Here I am"? Say that in your heart today. "Here I am." Who is this man? Who is this Abraham that says, "Here I am"? In Genesis chapter 12, if you want to flip back a little bit, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. By the way, I read from the New International Version. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "The Lord had said to Abram," that was his name back then, "leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Tell this story to people that are in slavery. Tell this story to people that are in Egypt, who are in bondage. They are the descendants of this man, Abraham. And we are telling them, the Bible, God is telling us, that we may be in bondage, we may be in misery, but we are His people. And He wants to provide a way for us. God loves us. We matter to God. Well, Lord, chapter 15, just a page or two over. Chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me?" Now, God has given him a lot. He's very wealthy. His tents, his dwellings, his flocks, his herds, they scatter out through the land. They come back for harvest time. There's a circuit of pasture land. Abraham is wealthy, but he considers himself to be poor. "I have no son." Well, we have a father that likes. I have more fun with my sons than any toy that I ever got. Those are the best presents my wife ever gave me. I take more delight in my children than in racquetball, hiking, mountain biking, swimming, all the other things that I like. I take more delight in my sons. And our Father takes delight in us. And Abraham says, "I have no son. I've got goods, but I've got not enough." In chapter 16, Sarah decides that when God doesn't provide, we have to help Him. When God seems slow, when God doesn't step up, then we get to do what we can. And she decides, way before this modern age, that there will be a surrogate mother. Have you ever heard the term surrogate? Yeah. They had that back then. And so she suggested to Abraham, "I'm getting too old. This isn't the way it's going to be, so we're going to have a surrogate. That must be how we need to help God provide." And so they try it. It turns out to be a big failure. The son, Ishmael, starts to turn a bit mocking towards his father and mother. And Abraham has to undo the mistake that he's made. he has to send the boy away. Because God says, no, not this son. I will provide a son of promise. I will provide your own son through Sarah, your wife. That's my plan. Now, Sarah is probably 90 years old when she has her son. I know some 90-year-olds. I would not want to see them pregnant. They walk with a walker. They have wrinkles. Have you ever known anybody that gave birth late in life? My wife has a family friend that has that blessing, and they called her Sarah because she was 44 years old. The Bible, Sarah, is at least double that age when God provides the son of promise, the baby. Well, in chapter 22, Abraham says, here I am. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Sacrifice your son? God spoke once and said, this son, this promise. God spoke again and said, sacrifice it. Those two thoughts do not reconcile in Abraham's mind or mine at first. God says, you are the children of promise, and the children of promise are in slavery. That does not reconcile. God says to Joseph, you will be preeminent. Your brothers and even your father will bow down to you. We're going to talk about that in future weeks. But what happens? Joseph is sold by his brothers as a slave in Egypt. All through the history, I will send you a king. The king is lowly, riding on a donkey. I will deliver you. And we suffer and wait. We are God's church. That's the promise. And yet we're small and slow growing. I want more for my church. I don't get it. It's a dilemma. God promises one thing, and on the other hand, it isn't happening. Have you felt that way? Those of you who really asked, sincerely asked, will God provide? You want to know. I read the promises. I try to be faithful, and my life is not working out. What's happening? Where is God's word? Does he see? I know Abraham's dilemma from the inside. Don't you? Yeah. God speaks and speaks again. Take a look at Genesis chapter 22. Are you still there? Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back. Now, wait a minute. God says, this is your son of promise. God says, sacrifice. And Abraham says, I will do that, and we will come back. Is he lying? Is Abraham saying something, and you can dress it up any way you want. You can say that he's just being politically correct, or you could say he's trying to smooth it over. But basically, he says, Isaac and I both will come back from this sacrifice. What's going on in Abraham's mind? What's going on? Abraham had two dilemmas that he was caught between, and he decided, apparently, and I'll prove it to you in a moment, he decided, you know what? God said it. That's his problem, not mine. Where God guides, you want to say it with me? Where God guides, God provides. And Abraham left it up to the word of the Lord. Abraham decided, I will trust in God. I don't understand it. And yet, didn't he? How do you say that the son and I will come back? All his life, he's trusted and obeyed God. Is that our habit today? Do we trust and obey? A son is born from a dead womb. This son is promised, and the son is sacrificed. How does God get out of this one? It's up to God, isn't it? Take a look in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, which is one of the biggest books before Revelation, Hebrews chapter 11. When you get there, say amen for me, will you please? Amen. I hear a few. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, the big book. If you find anything with a T in the New Testament, Timothy, Titus, or Thessalonians, it's just after the T's. The big book, Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? Amen. Okay. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his son, his one and only son. Do you know why it says one and only son? Because it's giving us a hint. This is just like Jesus. This son of promise, the son of God himself, was sacrificed for us, wasn't he? Right? His one and only begotten Son. Sacrificed, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did. So, if God says this is the summit of promise, and God says this is a sacrifice, then God will raise him up from the dead. There has to be a way through by following God's word. Folks, it's an amazing story, and you might want to meditate on it for a while. God will provide. Where God guides, God provides. But how? I want to know how. What do I do? Well, there's a few lessons here. Follow God, obey Him step by step. You'll be ready for the next step, right? If you've made a mistake, undo your mistake. You'll be ready for the next step. Trust in God now. It's a decision that we could make. There was a man, this is one of my favorite stories. There was a businessman who was really a pusher and entrepreneur, and he would manage and wrangle his staff and bully them and tease them, and oh, he was a mess. Always stressed out, you know, and his shirt and his tie was always wrinkled, his hair, and he was a maniac running his business. You ever have a boss like that? Oh, he was stressed out, maxed out, working 80 hours a week, just living on the edge. And finally, one day, he went away for the weekend to a seminar. When he came back from the seminar, he was a totally different man. He was relaxed. His shirt was pressed. He was calm. Subdued even. They wondered, what happened to the boss? He's not yelling at anybody. I don't know. You ask him. Oh no, I'm not going to set him off. You ask him. And finally they sent the intern in. What happened in this seminar? Man, you're changed. He said, I'm glad. Called the workers in. I'm glad you've noticed. Man, I am a changed man. I went to this seminar on how to run business, and it was really great because they taught us there that we don't have to worry. In fact, he said, I made my way up front to the seminar speaker, and I found out that I could hire him to do all my worrying for me. Wow, they said, that's great because it works pretty good. Tell us, that is so amazing. He does all your worrying? Oh yeah, I don't have any more worries. I hired him to do all my worrying for me. Wow, that really, it works so well. By the way, how much does it cost? Oh, he said, it's $100 a day. $100 a day, that's $500. They started doing the math, and they said, man, that's a lot of money. How can you afford that? He said, I don't know, but he worries about it. Not me. Can you hire God to do your worrying for you? Can you trust God to provide? Any fool can say, I believe God, when they're walking through the Red Sea. Anybody can believe God when they end up from Pharaoh's dungeon to Pharaoh's court. Anybody can say, I believe then. Anybody can say, I believe when the children of Israel marched through the gates to the city, out into the wilderness, to the desert, and they are stuck between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. And when the sea opens up and they walk through, anybody can say, I believe. I trust God. But can you say it now before He provides? Can you? The answer is yes, if you know Him. It's your choice. Like Abraham, like Moses, like Jacob and Joseph, we've got that choice today. God says, I will take care of you. Your misery and your suffering I have seen, and you matter to me. And that wakes me up. I want to be one of those that believe now. When I hear those words that God will provide a way, I want it to be so in my life. I want it to be so in your life. I want it to be so in the life of the church, that we will trust God now because the deliverance is on its way. We may be stuck in a dilemma. We may be stuck between this rock and a hard place. But I want to trust God now. In fact, I do. Do you know why? Because Jesus went through it already. Jesus was stuck in such a hard place. Father, I love these people. I can't leave them alone. I can't let them alone in their suffering and their misery. I will go. I will live among them. I will sacrifice myself for them. I want to do this. And the Father and the Son agreed before the foundation of the earth was laid. And Jesus came. I believe Jesus came because when I read His story, something happens in my heart. And I know that I matter to God. I know He sees us. And I know He sees us today. And I know He's coming again because He said so. He said, I won't leave you alone. I will come and bring you back to myself because you matter to me. And my heart opens up to that and I say yes. I don't resist that. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb, people? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Does your heart say yes to Jesus today? Let's kneel together and pray and tell him about it, shall we? Just kneel together. Just bow your head if you can't kneel. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, some of us have been chafing and rebellious because we think our way has been hidden. But we know that's not true. We know that you see our misery, and we repent. And we say to you, Father, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking our way is hidden from you. You see our pain today. And some of us, Lord, have known our pain. We see it so much we haven't been able to look above it. We've been selfish. We've turned inward because of our suffering. But today we alike turn towards you and say, yes, Lord. Yes, we accept your son. We accept your sacrifice on our behalf. We are sinners. We need your grace. And Lord, we accept that you will provide a way. We don't know what it is, and you've been very creative through the ages with what you've done. And if we have to wait until Jesus comes to heal us, if we have to wait till Jesus comes to be healed in our hearts completely, we'll wait for then. For we trust you. And we know that you love us and have seen us and have sent help today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.